with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Ghost Chronicles International. I am Ron Kolick, and you are not. Joining me today across the pond, or the Atlantic Ocean, I don't know why we say pond, that's some ridiculous thing. But anyways, is the gold standard in ghost hunting, the god of heaven's sound, Steve Parsons.
Yeah, so as we were saying, well, I'll give you an example from my last flight.
Yeah.
I would leave Logan at about 9:45 p.m. And I would get into London just before 9 a.m.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Clock time, 12 hours later.
Yeah.
Real time, 6 hours. It's 6.5, 7, plus so the 5-hour time difference.
Yeah. That's so screwy.
Yeah, well, you're in the air for six and a half hours, but the clocks have...
Because the clocks keep
so
up.
So you take off at 9 p.m., you get in at 9 a.m. If you take off at midday, you get in at midnight. If you take off at 9 in the morning, you get in at 9 at night. But it works the other way around going back.
So you get like a two-hour flight?
Well, no, it's actually the flight's longer. So you would depart London at about 10 a.m. and you get into Boston about 3 p.m.
Why do we need time anyway? It's so screwy.
That's why people have jet lag.
it's so strange. It really is.
Yeah.
When you think about it, because you mentioned on the show before, talking to you from your future. And in reality, that's what it is,
well,
time-wise.
It's 2 minutes after 11 p.m. here in the UK.
Yeah, it's a couple of minutes after 8 here. No, what is it? 8, 7, 6. Six.
Yeah.
So
we are 5 hours in your future.
Bizarre. Very bizarre.
Yeah.
So the world,
as you can imagine, it's completely dark outside. It's nighttime.
So if the world ends, that means we get 5 hours extra before you before we get wiped out.
Well, I mean, yeah, but what's weird is we set our clocks from London, don't we? So we work from Greenwich Mean Time or British Summer. Yeah, right. In fact, all of the world's clocks set them clock-based time from Greenwich in London.
Mm-hmm.
The zero meridian, which runs through Greenwich. So when we celebrate New Year here in the UK, everybody waits for Big Ben or the balls dropping New York. Mm-hmm. But in the UK, it's for the chimes of Big Ben, the clock. Bong, 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 bong. Anyway, in actual fact, we are 21 minutes later than them because we are further west than them. And it's the same. I mean, because the UK is relatively smaller than the USA, we don't have time zones like, you know, across the country, like Eastern, Mountain, Pacific, blah, blah, blah.
So do you want to know something to blow your mind?
Go on.
We're now attempting to set up a time zone for the moon.
What, for the moon itself?
The moon itself.
Well, that would make sense.
That's weird.
Why?
Because it's weird.
Yeah, well, most people don't realize that the moon rotates.
Yeah, I know, but we're set. Yeah, it's just
it rotates.
Weird.
Well, that's one of the crazy things.
Well, we're
going
to do it. We're doing it relative to the Earth.
Yeah, but one of the crazy things about the moon is we only ever see one side of the moon, don't we, on Earth?
Yeah. So they say.
Well, we do. We only see the one side
flat,
of the moon.
That's right.
Well, but the moon rotates.
Oh, it's a little disc. That's all it is.
But the moon rotates. but its rotation is synchronous with our orbit. So we still only see one side of the moon.
Yep.
It has a geosynchronous rotation.
The universe is cool, isn't it?
Well, you know, people make a big deal about, you know, when, because you've just had an eclipse. People make a big deal about
some people.
Isn't it weird how, like, the sun 93 million miles away is exactly the same size in the sky as the moon, which is. But of course, that's only now. It wasn't, you know, 5 or 6 millennia ago. The total solar eclipse. There was no ring. It just blotted because the moon was relatively bigger in the sky than. Or was it the other way around? Was it smaller and it's getting bigger? Or is it bigger getting smaller? No, it's bigger getting smaller. So in another few thousand years...
No, it's the sun that's getting bigger.
No. In another few thousand years, you won't have total eclipses. You'll have annular eclipses, which are like rings.
The moon's not changing mass.
No, it's changing its distance.
Oh, okay. Now, all right. All right.
So distance is changing. Yeah, okay. All right. Size.
So, yeah, you said getting bigger or something smaller. And I said,
yeah, bigger, but relative. Yeah, its relative distance is changing because it's moving away from us.
All right. Now I get it.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff.
But at the moment, we live in a weird sort of period of astrological history where the moon. Distance means that it is effectively the same size as the sun. Relatively speaking.
Very cool stuff.
Anyway, it is pretty cool.
It is. Yeah. I just can't wait for standard moon time. just from the say that the first time.
Well, we need
they're calling from standard moon time. It's like, that's so cool.
But we need to have standard moon time because was it next year or the year after they're actually going to go to the moon and establish colonies eventually?
Yep. All that crap. Yep.
So they need to have a basis of time, whereas previously the NASA astronauts just went on NASA time.
Yeah.
Which was actually based on Houston, Texas.
So when we go to Mars, it'll be standard Mars time.
Have to be.
Oh wow, amazing, amazing stuff.
It'll have to be.
And try figuring that out. I'm going to Mars. Okay, so what are you?
Can you imagine the Ghost Chronicles from the moon or Mars? And you like, I'll just Skype. What time is it there? It's not what time. It's 3 days ahead of you.
Yeah, it's what year.
We're not just 5 hours in your. Mind you, do you remember when we had our Australian guest?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Who are 11 hours ahead of us? Here in the UK, which puts because it's going to work against me in July, because I have to present via Zoom to a conference in Australia in July.
Good for you. Good
for you. Yeah, but I've got to do it at 1 a.m.
Good for you.
I've got to do a Zoom presentation
in your jammies.
In my jammies at 1 a.m. and look like, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to, you know, because it's...
Yeah, whatever it is.
I think it's going to be, I think it's just after breakfast there.
Probably.
It's like, whoa, I haven't even gone to bed yet. You're all had a good sleep and having breakfast.
Yeah, bastards. Anyway, that's so cool.
Once the kids, you know, the kids get used to it because, you know, They do the, when they were smaller, they used to do the NORAD track Santa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that? Well, Santa takes off.
We still
off.
Have it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. And they still do. Well, one of them was still doing it last year. Mm-hmm. And he's tracking Santa. But, of course, he has to start at 11 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Because Santa's up and you know, delivering presents. And it's only, he hasn't even had his dinner on Christmas Eve yet. His midday meal, and Santa's already, you know, like by the time he's, you know, sort of come home from, well, he doesn't go to school on Christmas Eve, obviously, but, you know, middle of the afternoon, Santa's already been and gone through Australia.
NORAD started that.
Wasn't it they got a mix up over the phone number, didn't they?
Yeah, somebody got it into it, and then it was like, yeah, they called. Yeah, and then they said, well, you know, that's a good idea. So they started doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw Ghostbusters.
You've seen the film? Well, I know you've seen the film because you put it on social media.
I did see it, and
you liked it.
I liked it a lot. I think it's better than the last one. Certainly better than number three. I liked it better than two. Actually, I know you like two, but I'd put it my second favorite. I thought it was done very well. You know, I mean, not perfect. Nothing's perfect.
There was some nice Easter eggs in it, weren't there?
Yeah. And you know what? The way they're doing it is actually pretty good. So I like that aspect. As long as they continue to, you know,
that's what I said. You know,
let the old Ghostbusters be, you know, in the roles they were in, kind of like, you know, not really the Ghostbusters, but you know, I know they took part in it, but you know what I mean.
I don't think they should. Well, you know, with a couple of exceptions, I don't think we should see them anymore.
Well, you should see Winston, of course. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's what I said. A couple
and
of
Aykroyd, exceptions. Aykroyd fits good in his part.
But I think, you know, I saw it as a farewell to the classic Ghostbusters and a welcoming and an establishing the new.
That's a good way of putting it. But I think it's still we'll still see at least Winston and Aykroyd.
Oh, we've got to see Winston, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Because
I know.
Yeah.
They did so make a big jump from the last one to this one.
You've got to have Janine and you've got to have Winston.
Yeah.
Because they're key characters. Aykroyd, possibly, but I don't think...
Good part. He actually had a good part there, you know?
He did. But, you know, I mean, even our mutual friend Dylan, who didn't like it, is now really
bad. Oh, he
doesn't
like anything.
Well, no, he's seen it a second time now. He's seen it a second time now.
Oh, really? Because he hated it, right?
Well, he didn't like it, did he, initially? But I think he's either changed his opinion or he's bowed to the fact that everybody else seems to like it.
That's what it is. I think he bowed. You know.
He's playing to the crowd.
What's the word? Congility? He just wants to be everybody's friend. So
I think he's playing to the crowd.
I think so, too. Yeah. Absolutely. But I did see it, and I liked it. I gave it definitely a 4-star. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
My only real reservation after seeing it is that they don't kill the franchise.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I agree with you there 100%.
You know, I mean, look what they did to Star Wars. They massacred it.
Yeah,
they still massacred. The same with the DC stuff, Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just worked it to death. Mm. And, you know, I hope that they don't do that. Yeah, every two or three years to keep the storyline, develop the characters, but not like we don't want spin-offs. We don't want the only negative I do still harbor about Ghostbusters is it's now become the Spenglers.
Yeah. Yeah, they
kind of because it's become the Spenglers because yeah. I mean, there's a role there for Oscar, because he would be, you know,
yeah,
of an age now.
Yeah, we didn't see Sigourney Weaver, we didn't see Rick Moran, which you know.
Well, it would have been nice to have seen Rick Moranis, but that was. You know, I think a lot of fans were waiting to see if Rick Moranis would appear.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he'd been out of Hollywood for years, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, all in all, I liked it. It was enjoyable, so I give it a thumbs up. So, first of all, if you haven't joined Patreon, a member of the Didier Society...
Oh, there's a new film. There's a new show on Patreon, isn't there?
There is. It's some guy from the UK actually did it, I believe. And it was a good little piece. And it's only exclusive to our Patreon subscribers. It's $3 a month. And you don't have to sign up for life, by the way. So, you know, you just sign up. there's I think there's like 60 videos on there or stuff. So I mean, man, that's pretty cool. So you can binge watch the thing. But anyway, yeah, that's just what you need. But anyways, yeah, check it out. Become a member. $3. It's, you know, it's not gonna break you. A cup of coffee costs you that nowadays. Probably.
Where'd you get a cup of coffee for $3?
Yeah, well, McDonald's.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's not Starbucks, my friend. Not Starbucks.
Won't be proper coffee then.
Starbucks.
But to be anyway, fair, McDonald's.
I like McDonald's so coffee. So.
Yeah, it's not so bad, actually.
All right.
Give them their due.
What was that?
So give them their due. It's not bad coffee at McDonald's.
Oh, very good. I you gave someone a compliment. I like that. Anyways, yeah, so check it out. You go to Ghost Chronicles Radio on Patreon. Ghost Chronicles Radio on Patreon, and there's tons of stuff on it. So check it out.
Hey, I did a thing today.
You did a thing.
I actually did a thing today, and I'm quite proud of myself.
You were a good boy.
Well, I noticed that the trigger on one of the rifles was on the AR-15 wasn't operating correctly.
Oh, God bless us.
I know. And, you know, it's like, what do you do?
Hmm.
Like, you know, like, complicated piece of equipment. And I changed it. I fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
I dismantled the gun and I rectified the problem. But there was one scary moment, really, really scary moment.
Ooh, I like scary.
I think, you know, I don't get frightened. I got frightened today.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because
it actually shot.
No. To fit one of the trigger is made up of moving metal blocks called sears, which interact with one another. And one of those was what the problem was, and it needed to be replaced. So, equipped with the instructions, I'd watched the YouTube video. I had all of the equipment ready. And the sear is held in by a little teeny weeny spring.
Oh, I hate that. Shoot me.
And that's exactly what happened. The spring jumped.
And you had to find it?
Well, after an hour of looking, and thought, oh, well, that's that. And I'll have to. Now, can I get a spare spring?
Yeah.
You know, like, eventually, yeah, I can order one, but the gun's going to be out of service now for about a week.
Mm.
And then I picked up my coffee cup.
No way.
And sitting in my empty coffee cup was the spring. I is like, thank you, God. Because, yeah, I mean, you've seen pictures of the office. You know, there is... I mean, it's chaos.
Bunch of stuff there.
There's a bunch of stuff there, and there's so many, you know, there's a million hiding places for a little half centimeter long, teeny tiny spring.
Mm-hmm.
It had gone all of 2 inches and was sitting in the coffee cup.
Pretty good.
I was
excited.
I was relieved.
Relieved, yeah.
Yeah. But not completely relieved, because I just clicked the buy now on the replacement. So now I have a spare spring.
That's not a bad idea. Anyways, yeah, you can thank God. And speaking of God,
they're only $4 each.
What's that?
They're only $4 each.
Yeah. So, you know, things cost money. Anyway, speaking of God, because you said thank God.
I did. You cast my eyes to the heavens.
On Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition today, we actually brought up an interesting thing that they now have in the market. And, of course, that is the Ouija board allows you to talk directly to God.
To God?
Yeah, to God. The big man himself.
With the Ouija board?
With the Ouija board.
So is he dead?
Oh, he's in heaven.
But I thought the Ouija board was to commune. Actually, I thought the Ouija board was a game.
Oh, not you could talk to Jesus.
Well, the inventor of the Ouija board convinced the IRS that it was a game.
Oh, it is.
For tax purposes.
That's a good. We got to do the whole thing, religious aspect of it, too, what the church says and all that. But anyways, yeah, so they actually have a Ouija board out there, and the planchette is a cross, of course. So there you go.
What does the church say about it? Because they're completely against it.
They don't like any of that. That's all. The Ouija boards are all.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if it's a direct line to the big man.
Yeah, but you don't know who you're getting. See, you're just opening the door.
Oh, you might get, yeah. It could be an imposter angel, couldn't it?
Yeah, you know, you're one of those. But, you know, it all started because somebody.
Hello, heaven here.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we had to do it because we all know that the government's satellites are intercepting our prayers to heaven. So, therefore, you know, we had to find another way to go directly to the big man himself.
Well, we're making an assumption there, aren't we? It might be the big woman herself.
Oh, no, they have his picture on the box.
All right.
Yeah, they have his picture.
Does it look like Biden?
No, it doesn't look like Trump either, so thank God.
It's not mahogany colored, then.
I can't see, I can't see Christ with the orange hair. But anyway. Yeah, so, that's the thing. I think it's $29. You can buy it on Amazon. Talk directly to God.
You can't get it in the UK. I've just looked.
You've got to check. If you're going to check out this thing, make sure you check out the reviews on it, because there are some amazing reviews. We actually went into some of the reviews on.
Well, you're going to have to read me some, because I can't order it in the UK because it's Amazon.com. We don't sell them. Our Amazon won't sell them.
Well, I just did it with the morning show. I don't want to go through them all again. But I mean, but they were.
You're going to buy one.
$29. I hate spending.
Oh, come on, that's nothing.
I don't know. I may. You know me.
What
you know me?
I know you. Yeah, you'll whinge and complain until somebody buys it for you.
Probably, but that's another story. Says the guy who has the EMF. Yeah, paranormal pussy there.
Now, in fairness, I did say I was going to establish a GoFundMe for that.
What?
Well, that's how I ended up with it, didn't I? Because, actually, it was entirely due to the good offices of Sandra.
Yeah, exactly. But who conned it to go to the UK in the first place?
It went on holiday.
That would be you. That would be you. I'll give you a hint.
And I brought it back to the USA.
Only because she hounded you?
No.
Yes?
Because its time was up. Its visa had expired.
And yet you got it again.
And I packed it into carefully and brought it all the way back, only to be told I didn't need to.
Yeah, you could have put stuff for me in that suitcase. I could. That's cat.
That's the... Well, look, you got a nice pair of crutches.
Yeah. Just what I've always wanted.
You needed.
For those, I don't know. Did we put that in a Patreon thing? We might have been. The paranormal pussy in the... You put it in one of those airbags, right? So you look at it. And
vacuum bag.
It looks like freaking roadkill. It's like, oh, my God.
Well, yeah, because I figured... I mean, it's a big item. We'll do a Patreon about it.
I thought you did.
We'll do another one. But yeah, it was a big item, and you know, I don't like to travel. I'm not Dylan. I don't travel with a suitcase the size of Rhode Island.
Like and some people we know, right?
Yeah, like Dylan. And so I mean, you know, these bags that you attach to the vacuum cleaner and suck all the air out, and well, I put it in one of them. It was solid. But very small.
Roadkill. Dehydrated.
It was. I think dehydrated was better. Was more accurate than roadkill.
Yeah. Well, ever seen? Never mind.
The best part was when I pulled the bung out and it reinflated itself.
I know. But it was so funny though.
We can.
What did you do to that thing? It's like, oh my God.
We can reproduce it on Patreon. We can, you know, I can repackage it
And I swear we made a Patreon thing on that. I'm almost positive.
We'll check. And if we haven't, then let me know and I can repackage it.
Yeah, we will. So our people can know.
I mean, everybody at Spirit Quest saw it.
I know. God, unbelievable.
Several of them are still in therapy, aren't they?
That was unbelievable. But for those who don't know Paranormal Pussy, it's actually a one of those trigger items with a built-in EMF meter or whatever. It's built-in something, call lights and noises thing, whatever it is.
Well, you know, the strange thing about that is it didn't come with an instruction manual. And
you got it used. It's not like you got a brand new.
No, well, it was brand new.
Yeah, but it wasn't brand new. You didn't get out of the box.
No, I never got an instruction manual. So I knew that there was a button to turn it on and off. Batteries, yeah. But I'd had it for 2 years and I'd taken it on, you know, it had been on a number of adventures. And it was only when I was packaging it back up for the return to the USA that I discovered that if you hold the button in, it has other modes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't change the detection, but you can either make it bleep or mew.
Oh, that's nice, mew. Just what you need.
And you can change the lights on its collar.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And you can make the nose light up.
Mm, terrific, just like Rudolph. Anyways, we are coming up to the breaks there, I guess. Yeah, it is. So.
Have we started?
Yeah, we've been starting for a half an hour now. So, it's typical ramblings when we don't have a guest. Anyways, you're listening to Ghost Chronicles International right here on TojiNet, brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Merrimack Street, Methuen, Massachusetts, the Glatt Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street, North Andover, Massachusetts, and our very, very good friends, like John, who's in the chat room, on Patreon.
Hey, John.
We'll be right back after the following messages here on TojiNet.
And Illinois.
And Illinois.
Welcome to TogiNet, radio with a cutting edge.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Located in Illinois, there lies a sleepy little town where nothing is a common occurrence.
You going to that party in town tonight?
Heck yeah! I only turned 18 once.
That is until the night of celebration.
Where the hell is she? Oh no. No, 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 Jessica!
What's happening?
From the creators of Shadowhunters, Bite Me, comes a tale of primal terror and grindcore mayhem. Shadowhunters, kill Jessica, kill!
and you're listening to the second half of the first half of tonight's 2 hours of Ghost Chronicles Ramblings. This is the International Rambling Edition on the day that I discovered that there is a Ouija board that you can use to contact God. And apparently, they're working on versions for contacting Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell.
They're still alive.
Only outwardly.
So, who was that reverend you, speaking about supernatural, who was that reverend you sent, and they kept sending you stuff?
Oh, God. He hasn't, Popoff.
Popoff, yeah. So,
Peter Popoff.
Last time you came here, I gave you the relic there, the miraculous metal relic.
That's right.
So, of course, I had to order that. It's not like I can go to France or whatever the place is.
No, it wasn't $29.
I know. Well, it was, yeah, it was more than a dollar, so cut you off.
And the brothel token.
Yeah, and the brothel token, that's true. It's two different things, the same, it's typical. That was not blessed, by the way, that, well, that could have been, but not by anything holy. Well, and then again, it might be holy, but that's another story. So they've started turning into this reverend of yours, Popoff, or whatever the frick his name is.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
So they keep sending me a bunch of crap. And this, today, I got in the mail, for an offering of $17 or more, you can request a bottle of blessed oil, which has been touched by a relic of St. Catherine de Labor and blessed by the shrine of Our Lady of Miraculous in metal. So they said, and that they actually send you, they send you a little clear plastic thing with some of this,
like a little sachet of
little blessed oil in it.
You know, it's actually vegetable oil.
Yeah, cooking oil. Yeah,
it's cooking oil.
Yeah, but it's been blessed, so that changes everything. Oh, like alchemy. That's it.
Got alchemy.
Alchemy. It takes me a while to get some of these, if I ever get them, by the way. I got Lou starting to talk by like me now, too, which is sad.
It's alchemy.
Yeah, I come up with these words and,
You know what happened in the 1600s to people like you, don't you?
They burned them as witches.
Yeah. They used to put big rocks on them.
Crush them.
Yeah.
Press them, as we say. But,
Like the grapes.
They all started because Salem has the world's largest Ouija board. I didn't know if you knew that, but...
I didn't, actually.
Yeah, so they do have the world's largest. If you... Funkin' Wagon it or Google it, you can see it.
How come I've never seen it during all my trips, sir?
I don't know. It's hidden, I think.
I've been to the Ouija board museum there.
Oh, it's not in the Ouija board. The thing is huge. It's bigger than...
Bigger than Salem.
Yeah, bigger than... Yeah.
It is the whole of Salem.
It is. It is, really. So.
Hey, a photo popped up on one of my memory timelines the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's you and me stood at a curbside.
Oh, not that stupid night thing.
Staring at a large piece of wood on a construction site. Mm. Yeah. Remember that trip?
That was so much fun, wasn't it? I could tell you really enjoyed it.
It was one of the highlights.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. That's how boring my trips are.
Oh, I don't know. What was the one where you dragged me up the top of a mountain?
Oh, for crying out loud. That any normal person would have enjoyed that.
It's a 65-degree slope.
Oh, baby, thank you.
Don't walk up there because you'll get Lyme disease.
Baby. Watch out for the bull, don't forget. He can outrun you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the warning.
Yeah, you better tell them about the Westfield night, though.
It's the Westford night, and it's supposed to be one of Sinclair's nights. It's part of the evidence that Sinclair was here with his troops. But it's a stone that has a knight etched in it, and it has a couple of other things that are etched in it as well. And it's in a big rock, but unfortunately, the big rock is by the side of the road, so... In New England, we have this stuff called snow and ice. So
and construction site.
Yeah, well, snow and ice, and the snow and ice is you know, it's kind of hard to drive on, so they put this salt on the road. So salt has a tendency to erode things when mixed with water. So, yeah, the poor knight is starting to erode. So in the wintertime, they put him inside a large crate by the side of the road, sighting stuff.
Yeah, that was a day out. I went to see the Westford Knight. And it was closed.
It was closed, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we got a bunch of cool stuff in New England. It's, you know, we don't have anything.
There's still a load of stuff that, you know, still on my bucket list to see in New England.
Yeah, like the Ewok Museum.
The gun range.
Gun range.
What else didn't we
Somebody
do?
Somebody copped out on you.
Yeah, what else didn't we do?
All the good things we didn't do. We did see the Crypto Museum up in Maine. If you haven't seen it, it's fun.
That's,
it's a fun
that's museum. Well worth that. Yeah, that's well worth checking out. That yeah. really is good.
It's you know, I think it's $10 or something like that. It's
and it was nice to see that news article you sent me about the James House.
The James House.
Yeah.
Up in, what's the James House?
It is the James House up in Salisbury.
Oh, the relic there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an old
colonial
built house or something. It's
built by a British
I wouldn't know.
Well, it was built by a British businessman I think his surname was James.
I'm sure.
And he worked in the textile industry. He brought stuff over from Manchester, England to establish, you know, textile manufacturing. And this was the family home. It was
it a family home, I should say.
Well, and it's reputedly haunted. So I've had the opportunity to. I know you visited as well, but to visit it, and then you sent me a news cutting about it the other day.
I don't even remember.
Awesome.
I forget.
You sent me the news cutting.
Yeah, I forget things. I'm old.
Okay. Hmm. From the Salisbury Beach Gazette or something.
Was it? Yeah. Sure it was me and not Willie?
No, it was you.
Oh, okay. No, can't help you there. Can't remember it.
You sent it. Don't you remember my comment? Did they do hot chocolate?
Oh, yeah. I remember the comment.
Hello, he's
back. I don't know what the thing was about, actually. I can't even remember. So, okay. I believe it. You know, you don't lie much. All right.
I don't lie. Are you going to talk about ecto goggles now?
I'm talking about those damn ecto goggles. The first time I meet you, you take me in. I'm so impressed, so excited, and then it's all a bunch of bullshit. And I was so disappointed. Probably one of the biggest disappointed since you took something else back to the UK. But.
Do you know what
my idol have fallen? Well,
we've got to explain now, because I was doing a talk about the history of the early psychical researchers, yeah. And I think it was the first or second spirit quest I'd done, and
I think it was the first one, Steve.
It may have been the first one, but
because Nori had warned me about you, how you know serious.
Well, I like to you know. Occasionally have a little fun, and so I created a story about a pair of special glasses that we used to see spirits, and we used on an expedition to Mongolia, and were being tested by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and blah blah blah. Complete with photographs of the of the goggles, which were, as I said, the forerunner of the ecto goggles that we used in Ghostbusters. Of course, the whole thing was a spoof. However,
yeah, right. That's why you had it in your.
Do you know? There's a better part to this.
Oh, there is.
Because about 3 years later, I was asked to give a presentation to the Society for Psychical Research.
The SPR.
Well, you know, I am on the council, but yes. So anyway, they asked me to do this talk on the history of psychical research. So I dive, and I put the slides from the original spoof, Ecto Goggles into the show.
Presentation.
Into the presentation.
Yes.
Slideshow.
That works.
And delivered it the same as they did in New England. And at the end, I said, any questions? Not a single person. Now, we're talking about people who have been in the SPR for 50 years. They know all of the... Nobody picked up on the spoof Ecto goggles that we paid for and funded and developed by the SPR in the 1920s. And this whole... I was amazed that I'd got... That, like, nobody... It's like, it was so far...
Put them all asleep, that's what it was.
No, it was so far-fetched that I thought somebody's going to pick up on this. And then I go, ha, well, I was waiting to see how long it was before somebody spotted it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever did.
No, so you needed one of those people like that were at the last Dining with the Dead with you to correct you and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
He knew his stuff.
Know his stuff, yeah.
Well, he thought he knew his stuff.
Yeah, whatever. It irritates me when I think about it. But you did a good job handling it, which I was laughing like hell at it. But I thought it was fun. This is going to be good.
I only invited him to get up and give the lecture on my behalf.
Yeah, that's what it was. Anyway, that was intriguing to say the very least.
I actually enjoy things like that. The thing I hate most in life is predictability. I hate.
You were getting irritated because he was really annoying.
I was getting irritated for the audience's sake, not because I mean I was enjoying the banter, but you know, people had paid good money for a dinner and a
good presentation.
And an after-dinner talk. And what they were getting was interrupted and irritated by this person.
Yeah.
And, you know, for their sake, I couldn't, you know, it had to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if I was paying good money for dinner and a speaker, I'd be bloody annoyed as well.
Oh, for sure.
But what I was saying is in situations where, because I get to do loads of interviews, I get to do loads of, you know, webinars and Zoom things, and they're always the same bloody questions. And what would be not? I like it when you get somebody who doesn't agree with you, somebody who challenges what you're saying, someone who rolls a curveball in, because they're much more. You know, when you survive them, you get a better feeling out of it. And you know, if you don't come across as a complete idiot. You know, I enjoy the challenge and the unpredictability of those. I don't like the, have you ever been frightened? Do you ever see a ghost? Mm-hmm. What would take to convince you? What's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you?
How did you ever get involved in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is?
And occasionally, I did one for one of the British national newspapers. Must be about 10 years ago now, and it's Halloween, you know, the only time they ever want to speak to you.
They all to you.
Yeah. Oh, it's Halloween, quick, we better, like, send somebody from
find the Wall some Street ghost Journal. Guy.
Yeah, send someone from the Wall Street Journal to the UK.
Here we go.
Yeah, well, that's how I became the gold standard, isn't it? But
yeah.
I've still got the framed artwork. Well, that's how they pay you.
Right, next to Dragon Boy.
Yeah, that's it, next to the crying boy. Anyway, but a couple of years after that, it's Halloween season, the phone rings, and it's a journalist wanting a story. Now, you know that they're getting paid for that story. You're not getting anything.
Oh, that's for sure.
You know, it's like, and yeah, I believed in the devil, demons, vortexes, orbs.
There you go.
Yeah. That was one of my favorites.
Did it get published?
Yeah.
Sweet. Should have cut that. Framed that one.
Of course it got published because they had no other reason to, you know. But people say that there are, you know, that these things, like these little balls, are like, oh, they're those orbs. Yeah, that's the first stage of a manifestation of a demonic.
Oh, my God, you just gave me the old standard.
Hey, you're going to love this. Okay, so I posed a question. I thought it was a decent question on Facebook page. I says,
oh, I saw it, yeah. But only if you're a believer.
Yeah, only if you believe it. Yeah, no, that was the whole purpose of this. I wanted to know, you know, you're a believer, so you believe in this stuff. Okay, so I wanted to know why. The answer is why. So, and nobody could give me a freaking good answer on it, of the particulars. It was all the standard lines, you know, oh, because they're restless, because they, you know, they're unfinished business. What unfinished business? They forgot to take the trash cans out on Thursday? I don't know. What is the reason?
No harm.
Yeah, I don't know. And I couldn't get it. And then some people got irritated. So it's like, oh, screw it. It's gone. So, yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, so many people talk about, you know, ghost hunting and everything. And all they do is they spit out the standard answers to things. Yeah.
Well, that's inevitable because we don't know the answers. So people.
Well, say that.
People, you know, they're kind of like swimming around after the Titanic has hit the iceberg and they've all jumped off. And they're all swimming around. And you see this with parapsychologists as well. Yeah. You know, for years, parapsychologists, then along comes Persinger and says, EMF. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, there's a life raft. We'll all jump on the EMF life raft and we'll all blame that. You know, oh, it's EMF.
Yeah, yeah.
And that went away. That life raft got full, tipped over, and they all fell off. And then along comes the infrasound life raft.
Oh, yeah.
And they all...
Somebody I know.
One in particular, yeah. They cling to this. And it doesn't matter because it sounds good. I mean, we also had the light. Well,
that's the thing. They called us off to make themselves look good. And
It wasn't a great life raft, but there was also the life raft of quantum physics.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Nobody understands it, so just quote mumble jumble, and then you're all set.
And, you know, you see a lot of television parapsychologists, you know, with these life rafts that they chuck around and they mm-hmm. cling to. And it doesn't matter if somebody walks up and pops it. Mm-hmm. It lets all the air out and it tips over. They'll cling back on it again.
Yeah. Well, why is that ghost?
It's exactly the same with, because what people are, the life raft that people are clinging to is something that conforms to their beliefs. So, you know, they don't want to believe that death is final. So they want messages from their loved ones who've gone that already got to the other side. They want some proof that we survived death. Mm-hmm. And a ghost might be that, you know, it's like, oh, well, they didn't quite make it. They're sort of kind of trapped.
But that's since the beginning of time, especially spiritualist movies. That was the big deal, was that they were looking for some type of evidence of that. Yeah. And that's why it was took off so well, because we had all this.
I mean, it's kind of like spiritualism is kind of like the Mexican border of of belief, isn't it? You're kind of like trapped there, and you might get across, or you might not get across, or you might get across and get sent back. I think that's called a near-death experience.
See, I would respect that more than some of these people that just give like stuff. I mean, like we know that's my belief. That okay, I get that. Okay, that's your belief. That makes sense to me. Okay, I understand now why you are looking at different things.
Yeah, but people
you just say, well, the standard thing, the unfinished business. Okay, what unfinished business? Like I said, did they take the trash? I mean, forgot to take the trash out. What the hell is the unfinished business?
Well, it is another example of this. Is I was on a show called Most Haunted, and
I remember that show. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a minor hit. And you remember the format. The spirit world used to like throwing rocks and pebbles and other bits of crap.
Which was the first time I ever heard that, by the way. It was on that show, so that was kind of cool.
At the crew, you know, like they pelt them with little pebbles or stuff. And everybody go, oh, do it again. And you see this on Ghost Hunts as well, like throwing stuff around and like little tiny bits of, you know, crap.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody ever questions why. So we did this one show, and I think it was aired. David Wells, and you know, we're getting pelted with stuff.
I like David.
And David's all right, but I said, David, why are they throwing stuff at us constantly? And he said, well, they're trying to get our attention. I said, are they aware of us now? And he said, yes. I said, all right, can they hear me or hear you? And he said, they could hear us speaking. I said, all right, look, can we tell them, right, you now have our undivided attention.
Yeah, stop throwing shit at us.
You've been throwing shit at us for the last half hour. You've got our attention. What is it you actually want?
Mm.
And it stopped.
Oh, look at that.
But it's like...
It was a miracle.
No, it's like... Because obviously, I don't think the spirit world will throw in anything. But between you and I, nobody listens to the show, so that will never get played. But it's kind of like, you know, you go on these ghost hunts, and they follow what they see on television. They follow what Zach does. They follow what Jason and Grant do, and they follow what Yvette and co. were doing.
And Baggins.
And with... Oh, I said Zach and co.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They don't question it. They just accept that if you go on a ghost hunt, you're going to get pelted with rock stones, and there's going to be a portal, and there's going to be demons, and there's going to be... like. But what does it all mean? Nobody ever says, all right, so why are you throwing stuff? Right, well, they want to get your attention. All right, you've now got my undivided attention. Why did you want my undivided attention? What are you going to do? Are you going to manifest? Do you have some important message for me?
Exactly.
For us? Do you have some earth-shattering revelation? Or did you just want to throw stones at me?
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? This is one of my big pet peeves. When you think about these paranormal playgrounds or paranormal amusement parks, like Eastern State Penitentiary and those other places, they go in there. Now, they get tons of people going through there, you know, 3 or 4 times a night. And they all ask the same damn questions. So it's like, if I was a ghost, it's like, I just told the other group that. Why are you asking me? You know, let's talk to the other group. Don't waste my time. But no, they ask the same damn questions. They, you know, hopefully they get the same answers according to them. So it's just like, it doesn't make sense for a ghost. Why would you even deal with that? I mean, you know, it's like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm just a trained monkey. I do what I'm told, I guess, evidently.
Well, they are. I mean, the spirit world are just performing chimps, really. Because
That's what we treat them like.
And the other thing is, nobody ever believes the spirit world. Because if they say, do you want us to leave this place? Yes. Now, just to be clear, you do want us to leave the place, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you just so we're absolutely, can you just repeat that in front of that red flag? Yes. Right. We just want, before we leave, can we just clarify you do actually, fuck off. Now, that would be a normal human response and would make the, well, you know what? I think they actually might be real because they've just told us to F off.
At Spirit Quest, Jim Stoner, this is funny. Jim Stoner did an EVP lab, and we did different experiments and stuff and everything else. And supposedly this, you know, we made contact supposedly. So Jim asked, he says, you know, we're here to help you. Tell us what you want, and we can help you. And he gets the recording, and you play it back, and it sounds like bullshit. Which is right, because how are you going to help them?
Well, I'm waiting for the one where you get, like, you know, tell us what you want, tell us how we can help you, and you get something by ice cream.
Yeah. Can you get that girl next to you to strip for me? I
Oh, God. You're going to love this. Oh, we ran out of time. Crap. Anyways, there was another investigation we did, we were in some place and everything else, and I introduced myself. I'm Ron Coley from the New England Ghost Project. Who are you or something? It's like, I forget what the exact question was, but in the EVP that came back is just, not a ghost. Okay. It's like, all right, I got it. You're Satan. Right. I get it.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Moving on.
But we ran out of time. Anyway, in regards to the Ouija board, the God. So yeah. I checked it out and see if they had one of the Satan. I figured that would only make sense, well, right?
Balances it out.
Let's face it, everybody doesn't go to heaven, so we got some friends in hell. So if we had a Ouija board that could talk
to one,
we could talk to Satan. Then we could, hey, is Ricky down there? Or can I talk to him, Satan? But no, there aren't any, unfortunately.
Well, there's a market there.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Design one.
We could design one. There is a Ouija board art thing. It's strictly what do you call those things? Like a painting, but it's not a painting. So it's it's art.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So it's $49. And then I had a laugh because of, people who bought that also bought, and then it had a picture of Jesus on another one. So the Ouija board board was $49, but the Jesus one was $181. So, hey, that's a good. We gotta go. Unfortunately, stay tuned for Ghost Chronicles.
Was it available in installments?
Yeah, next generation. Join Patreon, see the latest.
Let us know if you want to see the dehydrated kitty.
Yeah, dehydrated kitty. Yeah. So, anyways, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week. Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.